episode 234.
You know those days you have when you're ready to walk out of the shop, you lock the door and you go, I don't want to come back? He goes, yeah. I said, I've had plenty of those.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results Radio. Listen to learn just one thing from today's episode on your journey to remarkable results.
Welcome, aftermarketers throughout North America and around the world. Carm Capriotto here. Hey, I want to take this moment to thank my worldwide listeners, especially in Australia, France, Germany, Japan, and Spain, and of course, my friends in Canada. Thank you for your listenership. Hey, today the interview is with Vic Tarasic, a 30-year shop owner who sold his business, and he's now embarked on his second career. This episode is made possible by Federal Mogul Motor Parts. Search for parts, get the latest technical updates, and sign up for their new Garage Rewards loyalty program at their all-new website, fmmotorparts.com. You know, I'm amazed at all the places you can listen to the Aftermarket's premier podcast, places like Apple Podcasts, formerly iTunes, Google Play Music, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, and Stitcher Radio, and also on TuneIn.com, Podbean, and Player.fm. And it's on my own app, available free at the iOS and Android store. The interviews in this digital realm are everywhere, and I'd love it if you subscribed on any one of these sites. The network builds every week. I'm honored to make so many connections, like new Facebook friends Matt Allen, Travis Troy, Craig Osborne, and Jake Hillard. And my latest LinkedIn connections, Joseph Perez, Chick Capoli Jr., Randy Pickering, and Phil Fournier. Welcome, team, and don't forget about my YouTube channel. Hey, now it's time to tell some stories. Remember the essence of podcasting is storytelling? Well, in every story, there are strong messages that you can use in many ways to improve your own remarkable results. Now, meet Vic Tarasic. I was introduced to Vic by Dwayne Myers. Now, you've heard Dwayne on the podcast in past episodes, most recently in episode 222. I want to thank Dwayne for the connection to Vic. So my initial phone call with Vic started out like this. Hey, Carm, I'm from Buffalo. And we talked about his racing at Lancaster and some special people we knew back in the day and how he got started in this great industry of ours. You know, it's great to meet a person from your home area that went on to be successful and make a difference in the industry. Let's meet Vic Tarasic, who owned the 14-bay Vic's Precision Automotive located in Woodland, Texas. When he started, Vic says he sure knew everything about a 9/16-inch socket, but as he says, he knew nothing about gross profit. He ultimately got the help he needed, and Vic shares some great wisdom coming off of 30 years in business. Vic tells of his first indoctrination into a 20 group. He admits he was cocky, and he knew it all. And Vic shares some great advice he got about real estate. His biggest personal strength aided him well as he learned his way into a successful career as a service professional. He invested his time in the industry, serving as chairman of CCPN, the Car Care Professional Network segment of the Auto Care Association, and he's still active in auto care today. Currently, Vic is the major accounts director with RLO Training, and in this interview, we will discover 5 of his 10 life lessons. The first 5 are get training, know when to ask for help, bring someone with you on your journey, and it is a journey, not a sprint, and give back along the way. He promised to come back and share the remaining 5 of his life's lessons. Get an in-depth bio on Vic at this episode's show notes page, remarkableresults.biz/E234. Now enjoy another great interview with an industry colleague sharing with you a great story of remarkable results. Here we go with Vic Tarasic. Hey, it's nice to be with Vic Tarasic, the Director of Corporate Sales and Major Accounts with RLO. Hi, Vic.
Hello. Carm, how are you today?
I'm great, man. You know, we had an incredible icebreaker call. I found out that you're from my hometown. A lot going on with Vic. I want everyone to pay very careful attention with the incredible resume from Vic Tarasic. And so you grew up a car guy, you told me. You were just like passionate for cars, and obviously you're in the automotive aftermarket.
Yeah, I was so passionate for cars. I was one of those kids that could look at the taillights of a car and tell you exactly what it was.
I still love to do that today. When I see something new, Vic, how about you? When you see something new on the road today, you got to pull up, you got to get around it, you have to learn what it is, right?
Yep. Especially if you know that the police are driving and you happen to drive at high rates of speed, you need to know what they look like when they're coming behind you.
Well, that's really funny. You ended up having your own garage. You told me you were painting cars. How'd that happen?
in my early days, I had a partner. The partnership didn't go all too well, so it lasted about 3 months. But the one thing I took away from that was learning how to paint cars. I was a mechanic all my life, and it always intrigued me. How do you do body work and paint cars? So he showed me how to do it, and I was able to paint a few cars actually in my driveway, along with painting them in my garage, which was attached to my house.
So you went into business, and you must have known everything about gross profit and everything about net profit, right?
Oh, yeah. I was dumb as a rock. I knew what a 9/16 wrench and a half inch wrench were, but gross profit, had no idea.
What was the aha moment that you realized you had to figure how to actually be a businessman? Do you remember that time or date?
Well, I remember when I found out about gross profit was when I was talking to some marketing guys I was talking to about doing some marketing pieces for me. And they asked me, well, what's your gross profit? And I kind of looked at them like, they had two heads. And I'm like, well, show me. And I'd been in business probably a year at that point. It was still a struggle to learn it, understand it. Honestly, it took me to quite comprehend all aspects of it from a financial standpoint. 12 to 14 years into the business.
It's so refreshing to hear the stories that people are willing to give up, you know, and share that learning curve, the knowledge that they had to receive in order to be a really good businessman and learn how to really, really make money. I love it. I knew what a 9/16 wrench was, but I had no idea how to hire people, you know, what bookkeeping was about, HR, what do you mean laws? What do you mean I got to pay sales tax?
It's amazing the stuff that even, you know, we'll talk 30 years ago when we first got started, there were near the regulations there are now. But yet you had to comprehend them. I can't imagine starting this now, being a young guy coming into the business.
Yeah, but there's so much more help today. The suppliers are offering help. You know, when I think of business coaches in our world, and I know you work for RLO, there are so many great business coaches that it's almost like you have to have a doctor. If it doesn't matter what age you grow up, you know, what's your primary care physician's name, right? It almost seems today that you have to have a business coach on staff.
Yeah, and if you don't, the amazing amount of money that you leave on the table.
And that's the story that I continue to hear in the Business Coaches Roundtable and all the interviews that I've done. Everyone says it's your cheapest employee you would ever come to hire. Do you agree with that?
Totally agree. Yeah, because you asked me about the aha moment. Really, the aha moment was when I joined my 20 group. I sat down with 17 other businessmen, shop owners, along with my facilitator coach. He asked me what I wanted. And I had my wife sitting next to me, and she's not in the business at all. She works for an oil company here in Houston. And she's been a part of the business, but didn't work inside it. And so she's sitting next to me, and John Woffler, my coach, asked me, he said, so Vic, so what do you want in 5 years? And I'm all confident and cocky. And I sit there and I say, you know, I'd like 17 shops. And the whole group is quiet and they're listening to me. So John looks over at Marlene and he says, so Marlene, what do you think about that? And she looked at me and she goes, I'm sorry. She looked back at John. She said, I don't like it. He can't even run one. So at that first meeting, I realized what I didn't know. The cool part was I was a part of a community of shop owners that wanted to help me understand what I didn't know.
Well, I bet you they all realized at that moment in time that this guy needs a lot of help.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. And the ones that didn't needed just as much help as I did.
Yeah, so it was good. You weren't the smartest guy in the room.
No.
But you were willing to learn.
Yes. Yeah. Throughout my whole career, that was probably been my biggest strength, is willing to learn. Except when I thought I knew more than everybody else. You learn when your back's against the wall.
You and I shared our strength finders together when we had our talk, and your number one is learner. And so, and that's great because you have that inherent ability to be a perpetual student.
Definitely enjoy it.
How many years did you own the shop? I know you've sold it since then. Give us a background as to how long and when you sold it and why.
Well, 30 years, just about 29 and a half years. I was 6 months shy of our 30th anniversary. You know, if you think about it, you know, the growth from starting out in my garage, my little two-car garage, that actually I could only use one side of it, and then grew up to this almost 2 acre piece of property, 3 buildings, tons of bays. And after 30 years, I knew it was time to do something different. And my transition out of the business is a little bit different, I think, than most folks. And I tell shop owners, you're going to sell your business one way or another at some point. And they all kind of like, no shop owner ever thinks he's going to sell his business. I never thought I would. I thought I'd be in business forever. But after 30 years, I knew I wanted to do something different. I happened to put myself in a position, and thankfully for being part of the group that I was in, they guided me to, understand I needed to own my real estate. And I got a tip on the property next door that it was actually going to have a road going through it. So 17 years earlier is when I got that tip. 3 years prior to selling the shop was when I bought that piece of property. And I had a hospital come to me and say, we would really like to have that piece of property. And we would really like to buy you out.
It's like the drugstore story. Because I hear all the time, the guys started at gas stations and, they're always on a main corner in a community. And how many guys that I know, even in Buffalo, that sold their corners to Rite Aid, CVS. And obviously the property was worth more to them than the business was.
Yeah. Right now it's a parking lot. It's the weirdest thing. If you come into my county, you say you moved here today and you drove by my old location, you'd have no idea there was a business there for almost 30 years.
But you learned a lot there.
Oh, yes.
You have no regrets.
Not at all.
I believe you would agree that being a top tech is real hard work. Keeping up is a full-time gig, considering vehicle technology, repair procedures, and diagnostics. It's refreshing to know that Federal Mogul Motor Parts' Garage Guru is there for you. It's been designed by and for technicians, the best in the industry. And did you know there's no other comprehensive program like this anywhere? A big part of the program is the nationwide network of Guru's on-site training and technology centers. There, you can get your hands dirty with the equipment and tools you use every day in real work-related situations. When online is your perfect way to learn, do it with Guru's 24/7 online academy with a huge catalog of training course options. And with the Guru's on-the-go technology fleet, they bring the latest products and demos right to your shop. And this year, you get free stuff from the Garage Rewards Loyalty Program. You earn points towards gear from your favorite Federal Mogul Motor Parts' brands. And what is really great, it costs nothing to join, and you'll start earning points immediately. So head on over to fmgarageguru.com and learn all about Garage Guru's training, support, and get in on the rewards. Brake jobs are a staple component of all successful shops, and getting the brake job right helps build a quality reputation for any shop. When the best is called for and stopping distance, rotor wear, and pad life are important to every shop and its customers, Wagner OEX brake pads are your only choice. Based on benchmark testing conducted by Link Engineering Company, Wagner OEX pads can stop a pickup, SUV, or CUV up to 50 feet sooner. Based on internal testing comparing new Wagner OEX to other Wagner offerings, the unique design of Wagner OEX increases pad life up to 2 times longer. The customized shape and slot design of each of the more than 114 SKUs creates a turbulent airflow that allows for cooler operation and improved stopping power for the vehicle on which it was designed. Wagner OEX cover 95% of the U.S. market of pickups, SUVs, and CUVs. Wagner has the science behind stopping perfected. They conduct 13,000 critical tests each year, and as of today, have 258 issued patents with 68 patents pending. Wagner has earned their stripes. Now they want to earn yours. Install Wagner OEX, the customized brake pad that can stop your customer's truck up to 50 feet sooner. So how did you get to work for RLO?
Of course, being a client of theirs for 10 years, I came to know the owner. And we would attend Apex every year, and we would walk the show floor together. And over the last couple of years, through the spool down of the shop, I was looking for another opportunity. And I wanted to stay involved with the aftermarket. This is a great, great industry, full of great people, amazing people, smart people, fun people. And I wanted to stay involved with it. And Dan and I were walking back from a function, and he had been asking me what I was going to do. And I said, you know, honestly, I don't know. I said, hey, this is my criteria. I want it to be fun. I want it to be rewarding. And I know it's going to be work, but I want to stay involved with this side of the industry. And Dan looked over at me. He goes, let me think about it. So the next day we're walking the show floor. He goes, why don't you come work for us? And I looked at him. I said, what do you want me to do? And he goes, well, he goes, you know all these folks in the industry. I'd been part of Auto Care, Association for years and established some really great relationships with a lot of good people. Dan goes, he said, you know all these folks in it. And he goes, we've got an area that we're starting to develop in is corporate sales, where we take training to the WDs and then push it down to the shop owners. He goes, you're a client. You've been a client for 10 years. You know the industry. You know the people. It's a good fit. I said, well, let me pray about it. Gave him, a couple weeks later, I gave him a call. I said, I'll come on. So it's been since December of this past year, and I haven't regretted it one bit.
You know, that whole been there, done that is so powerful today in experience that you're obviously bringing to RLO and your ability to, recruit the shop owners. You spend much time in front of a shop owner today, and if you do they relate to you because you know their business?
They do. In fact, in this past couple of weeks, I've had a list given to me of shop owners who are interested in becoming involved in 20 groups. I'll tell you, when I get sales calls when I was at the shop, it's like, oh, another sales call. God, everybody wants to sell you something when you're in an automotive shop. They want to sell you insurance. They want to sell you printing. You go on. And when you first call them and tell them you're with RLO training, you sense that you're just another salesman. And then we talk for a second and they submitted their information. So they know that they're going to get the call. But then when I tell them, I said, I know it's right before Memorial Day. And I know that it's busy. I said, I know this because I was a shop owner for 30 years. He's like, oh, you can relate to that. I said, oh, heck yeah. I said, in fact, I tell you what I know I can relate to is how those days you have when you're ready to walk out of the shop, you lock the door and you go, I don't want to come back. He goes, yeah. I said, I've had plenty of those. And so they relate to someone who has been a shop owner. I mean, I walked in their shoes. It's kind of like the hair club for men. Oh, the client, now I work for him. I don't own the company, but I work for him.
You mentioned Auto Care, Vic, and you served as the chairman of CCPN, the Car Care Professional Network, as part of Auto Care. How long did you do that?
Gosh, I was chairman of that for 3 years, vice chairman for 2.5.
Great organization.
Oh, gosh, yeah. It was a great experience. In fact, that's how I got to know all the guys that I know in distribution. If you take your average shop owner, he doesn't really understand the distribution side other than pick up the phone, call Jimmy up at the parts house and say, I need a water pump. And they got great relationships, but they don't understand and really have the opportunity to be exposed to it, what goes on to get that part to that parts house. So I got involved with that. I actually got a call from David Wofford. He said, we're looking for someone, that from the Houston region to become part of Car Care Professionals Network. They're getting started. And I was like, well, what is it? He said, it's a group of shop owners that they're starting this organization and they wanted to be part of the distribution side. So I'm like, okay, count me in. I trusted David. So, he put the name before them and I got involved with it. It's been, honestly, it has been one of the best experiences that I've had. That helped me to transition out of being a shop owner into doing what I'm doing now.
You expanded your horizons, didn't you?
Yes, I did. My world didn't extend very far past the bay. But man, when I went to my first Apex show, I was like, oh my gosh, and saw the size of the industry from just the number of folks there and the guys in sales and all the different products out there that we've never seen. I'm like, this is really cool.
What would you tell a service professional about getting themselves to Apex this year?
If you don't go to Apex, you're missing out something huge. When I went to Apex, I looked at it this way. Take away one thing. Much like you do, Carm, listen for one thing. But take one thing away that you can learn from, but also that you can make money off of. And there's an idea there that you'll never experience unless you go to Apex. And every year that I've gone for the last, 14 years, other than one, I brought something back with me.
Well, Apex this year is really going to concentrate on the service professional. In fact, there's a lot of great training that's going on. I know they're actually also going to try to partner with ASA, and I'm going to be there with a studio, and I'm also going to lead a town hall panel. And I'm excited to be involved. You know, a big bulk of my listenership is the service professional, the technician, you know, that whole segment that, as you say, needs to get themselves to Apex. So hopefully, we appreciate your testimonial. Thank you very much for that. Now, you are a past chairman of CCPN.
Yes, past chairman of CCPN. In order to be on CCPN, you need to be a shop owner. And I'd actually rolled off of the board of CCPN for maybe a year before I closed the business. And but now I'm actually still with AutoCare, but I'm working on the events committee.
The events committee for Apex or for all events?
All events inside AutoCare, but Apex is the primary one.
Okay, great. Good stuff. You have an incredible life's lessons or wisdom that you took away from your years in business and all the involvement that you have with AutoCare and how engaged you are with our industry. You sent them to me, and I just couldn't stop reading them. They're all great pieces of wisdom, and you sent me 10 of them. And I'm wondering if we could get through all 10 or if we just do the first five and then we have you back, because there's some great life lessons here. And I think our listener more and more wants to hear some, you know, in-depth, how can I change? Can someone teach me something or impart their wisdom so that I can grow as an individual, build my business, build my family, build my team? Let's jump in that, okay?
Sounds good.
Life lessons from Vic Tarasic. Number one, get training.
Technical training is easy. All shop owners will agree with that. But business training, something we tend to shy away from.
So that's what you're saying here.
Yes, I am. Yeah, because we, as technicians, and I still consider myself a technician, I'm still ASC Master Certified. And I will stay Master Certified. I'm proud of it. And it's, you know, we love stuff technical. And we dive into a Motor Age or a Motor Magazine and we'll, you know, read all the technical aspect of it. But man, when it comes to picking up a book or learning something new, it's like the eyes glaze over and it's like, I'll get somebody else to do that for me. And that's good, but you need to understand what they're doing for you so you don't get fleeced. You want to be successful, you need training.
It's not a weakness as an entrepreneur to want to go get training, because I continue to hear it over and over again. Training is a lifelong commitment, and business training, leadership training, team building training are those uncomfortable? I think what you're saying is they're kind of uncomfortable, but when you master them over and over again, you blossom.
Yes, you do. Like speaking in front of people. Now, as shop owners, we always speak, we speak in front of people daily behind the service counter. But we're not comfortable when we stand in front of people. So I spent a stint with Toastmasters learning how to do public speaking.
Great idea.
If you want a competitive edge amongst all your competitors, get some public speaking and then put yourself out there to speak to local gatherings, which you know, because You know, the shop owners know a bunch.
Vic, the subjects to speak on today in the world of automotive, all the technology and, you know, the safety systems on the cars, the eventual autonomous cars, I would say the Lions Club and the JCs and all the communities want to hear from an expert about how they see it.
They do. And there's so many subjects. If you have the technical knowledge of it and you can articulate it to the general public in words that they understand, because, you know, we don't want to be talking about, you know, DTCs and PIDs and, you know, they'll kind of look at you like, you know, you're talking another language. You want to talk in knowledge or words that they understand.
You know what it is? It's safety. Go out and talk safety. All the systems on the car, talk about tires and oil changes and vision, but now start talking about the advanced driver assistance systems And some cars have them, some cars don't, but they all will someday, and how they work and how they interact, I think the audience would be glued to your message.
Oh, exactly. Well, how about this one? Think about all these new cars. They're talking back to the dealer, to the manufacturer. They're sending data back on you and how you're driving. So do most folks know that?
That is such an interesting can of worms. Oh, my.
Yeah. We won't crack that one. But that's one that, you know, the public needs to be aware of. And us as service professionals have a duty to carry that knowledge and wisdom to them and allow them to make the decision what they're going to do. Are they going to take it whichever way they want? But at least they know.
Thank you for that. Get training. Number two, know when to ask for help. And bring trusted advisors around you. You had your aha moment when you joined the 20 group. And I said earlier, you got to have a business coach if you're looking for that high pinnacle of success.
Well, you know, I'll take that even back to my first year in business. One of the things you and I talked in our initial interview was about one of my trusted advisors that's still my trusted advisor today. I used him throughout my sale of my business. And that's my CPA. And in the 80s, the oil industry had just taken its toll on the Houston market. It's much like Buffalo when we lost Bethlehem Steel and the stamping plant. You know, it just devastated the economy. And well, he was CFO of a shipping company formerly. And he wheels behind my shop one day and he's got this little Mustang too. And he comes to a stop. We hear this, the telltale grinding noise. And, as a technician right off the bat, it's metal on metal. He hops out of his car and we chat for a second. And Pat says to me, he goes, I know I need bricks. He goes, I don't have any money. And now I've only been in business 6 months and I got this guy asking me to take care of something without any money. I'm like, oh, great. And he goes, but I do have CPA experience. I can do your taxes. I'm like, cool. So needless to say, we traded. And from that point on, we started to connect. And I was open to his wisdom. I brought him around me as a counselor. So at points in your life, you're going to struggle and you're not going to know where to turn. And I'll tell you, having Pat around me and knowing who he was, I was able to pick up the phone and go, okay, I got this issue. I got that issue. Or on the sale of my shop, I'm like, okay, I was offered this. What do you think? And he gives me his counsel and I either, yay or nay to it.
Make your own decision, but you've got to get input.
Yeah, and to take it into the coaching realm, people think when they get involved with coaching, they get involved with the 20 group, that their coach is going to tell them to change everything. I talked to a guy last week and a shop owner. He goes, well, are they going to come in and tell me to change everything? Well, no, they might make suggestions, but it's your decision. And as shop owners, our job is to listen, take wise counsel, and make the decision that's best for us.
That's a great point. You've got to buy into it to do it, don't you?
Right. Yeah. If you do it half-heartedly, it won't get done. It won't get done the way it needs to be. Won't get the results you want.
Great. Okay. No one to ask for help. Trusted advisors. Number three, bring someone with you on your journey. A mentee.
Yeah. This is a journey. If anyone's starting it that's been in this business, this is a journey. There's plenty of guys in our business that have started out sweeping the floor and that are own the business now. But as a shop owner, your job is to find someone to bring along with you on your journey, be it another shop owner or someone working for you, even a competitor, someone that you can help elevate in the industry.
That's big words right there. They've been spoken on our show before in many different, either the Academy or a regular podcast, where shop owners want to befriend the competitors in the region because all ships rise. Why should he look at coming into the market this guy's always going to be $25 below my labor rate, but why is the next question. And that is such a profound statement. Do you have any examples of embracing the competition?
I've got a guy that up here in Conroe, where I live now, we're competitors. We draw from the same market. And we would talk to each other about new management systems, or if we might have tools that we would lend to one another, or we would talk about a best practice. I haven't tried this. Have you tried it? And he's like, well, no. I said, well, you know, if you try that, it might help you out. And vice versa. And I've even had shop owners come by and help me with a problem. So, they were, in essence, they took me under their wing.
Do you see more of this happening? I mean, with your level at CCPN and your continual engagement in the industry, do you see more and more of this going on?
The level of the more successful shops you do, because as you become more successful, you're more secure. And as you're more secure, you're more apt to help your neighbor.
Is the neighbor who isn't as secure willing to engage?
And a lot of times, no, because they wonder, what's your angle? My early days when I was, like I said, I was dumb as a rock. And this is probably my second year in business. I called one of the local shops. It was more successful. And I want to introduce myself. And Kenny goes, well, who the F are you? And why the F would I want to talk to you? And he hung up on me. I'm like, wow, you're really not that secure in who you are. And he had a big shop, but not that successful.
It was Rick Escalombre, Skyline College, retired educator, who in his episode with me talked about the word independent. And he says that's the biggest problem that we have in our industry is the moniker that, you either talk about dealerships, and then out of the same breath, if you want to talk about shop owners in the aftermarket, you call them independents. And he says that's always been the problem. You're independent. Everybody's independent. We didn't have an answer for how to fix it. But I think the more we talk about it, if we could get rid of the word independent, you say the word dealer, what do you say next, Vic? If you don't say independent, you say the aftermarket service professional industry. And because the word independent says you're your own, you're doing everything to make yourself successful and not elevate the entire service professional aftermarket.
Well, yeah, just I agree with you. Just in that the title independent means basically you stand on your own. You have to learn on your own, and you don't have anybody to lean on, and there's nobody out there to help you because we're all independent, and we're all fighting for market share. Well, we all are all in the same market, but we all have our niches.
The theme of the podcast, if you've been a fan forever, and if not, and you're just learning and just jumping on board, the catalog of episodes is immense. And there are some great takeaways that it seems, every three or four or five episodes, they have the same themes. And one of the themes is there's enough business for everybody. You're so right about sharing tools and knowledge and helping people through diagnostic challenges. Since there is so much business, this unkept maintenance, if you will, that's $63 billion, but I think that's the number. There's so much business. You shouldn't worry about anyone in the community taking it. It's just that if the independents, quote unquote, got together and took the business from maybe the dealerships, the business is just there to get. And I love your premise and I love your point.
Well, one of the things I want to add into that is if you differentiate yourself from every other shop owner out there, you have customers that will come to you. If you elevate yourself, people will start doing business with you. If you make the comfortable customer feel more comfortable, they'll start using, start doing that, portions of that $63 billion of unkept maintenance.
You're right. It's differentiation. It's business culture. There's so much there that really performs in a great business. Great techs, lifelong learning inside the bays, all the right equipment. And then there's as much stress and pressure at your, to be good at your front counter, to market to your customer, to have good quality controls, to provide an experience way above what anyone would naturally think. Wow, this is an automotive repair shop. It doesn't look like one. It doesn't feel like one. My experience wasn't as my paradigm says it is. And I think we're going off on a tangent, but I'm glad we're talking about it.
Well, and we talk about getting training. You take a technician who becomes a shop owner, well, and it also does a service advisor. Now he's doing three jobs. What should the shop owner really do? He should run the shop, set the vision, set the course. He should be the captain of the ship. He shouldn't be behind the counter other than to greet the customers and say hello. He should be focusing on how he can differentiate his business, how he can make it better, how he can take his staff to the next level, how he can improve himself learning-wise, how he can improve his staff learning-wise, how he can get ahead of the curve. And as a shop owner, that's a service advisor or a technician, you struggle with trying to learn those things along with keeping ahead of the curve from a technical standpoint.
Thank you so much for that. And number four, it's a journey, not a sprint.
It is a journey. I had someone call me a overnight success, 30 years in the making. Barry Barrett. He's been on your show.
Of course, Barry. God, yeah.
He's a super guy. He's like, yeah, is Vix at 30, overnight success, 30 years in the making.
Yeah, I know. And you know what? That's just a great compliment because you never gave up. You kept plowing the fields.
Plenty of times I wanted to give up. Well, I can't tell you how many times I wanted to give up.
Give me an example of one of your give up moments.
The customers, you know, the last customer of the day, he runs you into the ground. He calls you a liar. He beats you up on price. I mean, you pick any of the reasons. You know, first off, you don't know what this guy's just got done dealing with. He might have had a cancer diagnosis, but you happen to be the dog that got in the way. This guy who doesn't appreciate what you do. And, you know, as technicians, we take what we do and do it well with pride, and we should. And it's just like, you know, I've had enough of this. It's been, just been one of those weeks. Everything's going wrong. You know, the compressor just failed. The employee fell and hurt himself. And then last thing you know, you got the customer. It's like, so you got all these things going wrong. And you just, you walk out the door, you stick the key in the door, and it's like, I am not coming back tomorrow. I've had it. And that's how you feel. And then you get home, you lick your wounds. You know, thankfully, I've got a great spouse. She's like, she's my haven. I come home and she's like, how was the day? I said, it could have been a little better. And, you know, we'll hang out back and we'll talk. And next morning, I'm, you know, ready to get back after it. You know, still licking my wounds, but.
I love what you just said about the spouse helps you through it. And I have to say that probably some incredibly successful, very, very successful business people in any industry have that at home. Have that release, that outlet, and the wife understands. No matter if she's working full-time or not, she says, got to sit and talk to my hubby, Vic. Got to help him through the day. And she probably just lets you talk. And I'll bet you when you talk it out, you talk yourself in.
Yeah, exactly. And she is perfect. And the guys that do have a good spouse, that it's such a huge thing to have. I have to say this, Marlene's a Buffalo gal too. So she actually babysat my sister's kids. So, but it is huge having that spouse to bounce stuff off of. And even great ideas. Having a good support system at home is good. And you know what? If you don't have a good support system at home, there's one out there. You got to find it.
Well, I have that. And thank you for bringing that up. But again, go back to journey, not a sprint. Really, it's long-term success that you're really looking for. And so many of the things that you have just said, you know, having a mentee, you know, continuous training, all lends itself to this wisdom point that you're really on a journey of success.
It does, because it helps you, the folks on your that are with you on your journey help you. They help you to stay out of the ditch, which I've been in the ditch a couple times because I didn't ask for help. And as you know, go back to one of my earlier points of know when to ask for help. Well, I say that from experience because I didn't know when to ask for help. I ended up in a ditch and it ended up costing me a ton of money for a big mistake.
Okay. Our listener right now is hearing what you just said. And they said, you know what? Vic is motivating me to do something, to seek some help. What's the first step? How do you do it? You don't go out and say, hi, I'm failing. Hi, I need help. Can you give me an example of how you could approach looking or getting, asking for help?
Well, you know, of course you have, plenty of training companies out there. We at RLO Training, we are that resource. In fact, that's how I got involved with RLO Training, because I had one of those, I want to leave the key in the door and lock it and never come back moments. As I went home and, you know, I tracked down RLO and got involved with my 20 group. But even closer to home is you have customers that they're businessmen and they befriended you. You've struck up relationships with them. I've had customers that wanted to buy into my business And, you know, I declined because I wanted to stay as a non-partner operation. But I knew if I had anything that Larry could have offered me, I could have picked up the phone and called Larry and say, hey, I need your help here. It's not just, you don't just throw up your hand and say, I need help, but you have had plenty of people as a shop owner.
So instead of picking up the phone and calling a business coach, which is an option, absolutely an option, you're saying that your network, your community network, your friend network is, and it doesn't have to necessarily be, hey, I got to talk to you. I have some issues. It says, hey, let's have lunch. And then it starts. Your agenda is to share one of your struggles and say, has something like this ever happened to you before? And then all of a sudden, it starts gelling and working and communicating back and forth, and that relationship builds. And now that person is almost classified as a mentor to you.
Exactly. Well, I'll give you my personal example. I told you in our initial interview, I graduated in the top 10% of the bottom 10% of my graduating class in high school. I barely made it out of there. What's funny though is, you know, today when people see me, you know, they see me in my jacket and coat when I'm at an industry function, they don't have half a clue of the areas that I have struggled with and struggles that I've overcome. And those that do open up, I'm like, I've walked in your shoes. I understand the being a guy just barely making it through school because I didn't like the books. I understand being a slow reader early on, and I know what it's like to overcome these challenges. Let me help you. It's that guy who opens up to me. I'm happy to share my wisdom. And there's plenty of guys out there.
That goes into a degree of self-confidence that you have to have, and you have that as in one of your strengths, self-assurance, that sooner or later you get to that point where you're saying, it's never going to be embarrassing to tell the real truth about my beginnings because I did something about it. I did something about it. I toughed through it as tough as those days were. I have to say I'm pretty damn successful at the end of the day, whatever that end of the day is.
I tell people this, I say, it's okay to be where you're at, wherever you're at. It's okay to be where you're at so long as you don't stay there. And they're like, yeah, that's just find a way to move past that.
Continue to stretch.
Yeah. Well, life begins at the edge of your comfort zone. Not my quote, but it's a quote I love.
I have so enjoyed this dialogue, Vic. Thank you so much. Number five is give back along the way. Wow, that's big.
It's huge. And you know what? As a service professional, this is something that we should do easily because we're service professionals. We are in the service business. We love serving people and we have a lot to give along the way. Right, we've been involved with, you know, all types of outreaches, Toys for Tots. I talked about my customer with the Mustang too. You know, that was in my first 6 months. What did I get back? I mean, I got a lifelong relationship because I helped him. I mean, one of the coolest things we ever did was help the Batters Women's Shelter. And we did something a little different. We had classes every couple weeks. The women's shelter, we would close up the shop, and half hour after everyone would leave, we would bring them in, we'd set it up in pizza, and we'd have a classroom environment, and we would bring them in, talk to them about cars, we'd get them out of their shelter and, you know, bring them to something different. And you could watch their self-esteem begin to blossom as you're talking to them about the car. You know, they haven't had much exposure to a man because they've, you know, been dealing with this particular, you know, battered issue. And it was much more rewarding than we could possibly imagine.
You're talking philanthropy to me here, and you're really saying, Carm, it's deeper than just giving a Chinese auction gift basket to someone. It's deeper than putting up a sign in the back of the Ball Diamond. Although those are all important to be engaged in the community, you're almost saying a cause, an individual cause that goes beyond just an ad in a book and a sign in a Ball Diamond and a gift basket of car care stuff.
Exactly. You're getting involved. You're not just writing a check.
You're actually there. You're present. You're engaged. You're setting up chairs. You're doing the things for the people in that organization. You're helping, you're fixing a car, you're teaching people. You're doing Toys for Tots as an example. That's a great one. Did you ever do that?
Yes, we did. It was great. It took us a bit to get involved with it because they weren't doing it in our area. But once we did, it was like, oh man, it was so cool. Because people would be bringing their toys in and dropping them off, and our customers, and you know, we would drop them off, and then when they came by to pick them up, it was just so cool to talk to the people about what they're doing. It's like, and knowing you're making an impact on just some little people for Christmas.
Grateful that Vic Tarasic joined us, the Director of Corporate Sales and Major Accounts with RLO. Thanks for sharing your first five great wisdom points. We're going to have you back for the other five and to tell us the story about your, you know, very successful career as an automotive service professional. Thanks, Vic.
Thanks, Carl. It was a pleasure being here.
Hey, aftermarketers, after 30 years as a service professional, Vic Tarasic's next pursuit is supporting the industry as the Major Accounts Director with RLO, working with shops. I loved his life's lessons and the great discussion we had, and I'll have Vic back in the interview seat to talk about the remaining five lessons, so look for that. For a list of episode talking points and an in-depth bio on Vic Tarasic, don't miss the show notes at remarkableresults.biz/E234. Don't forget to join the learning on the Academy series. Find those single subject lessons at remarkableresults.biz/learning. Hey, please email me and share the love on social media. And until next time.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.